I have a $20 bill. Who in here could use $20? All right. You want this $20 bill? Raise your hand if you want this $20 bill. All right. Now I have folded it into a tiny little square. It's kind of crumpled up now. Who wants it now? Okay. I've stepped on it with the bottom of my foot. I rubbed it into the ground. Who wants it now? Wow. After I stepped on it, rubbed it in the ground, crumpled it up. Who wants it now? Man, I might have to give it away. I had to borrow this $20, just so you know. I didn't have $20 when I came in. I'm like, hey, can somebody lend me $20? I might have to give it away. But what you learned is, no matter how crumpled up, no matter how stepped on it is, no matter how dirty, no matter how much junk is on this $20 bill from traveling around the world, being under my foot, whatever, you still want it. It still has value to you. And what I'm here to tell you today is, no matter what you've been through, no matter how stepped on, crumpled up, and beat up you feel like you are, you still have value, amen? You are valuable to the Lord. Now, I need to give this back to the person I took it from. I'm sorry, but Danny lent me $20. Here you go, bro. Come get you $20.
He was nervous.
But see, you're valuable to the Lord. He looks at you under the light of who you are in Him, not who you are in the world, who you are when He's in you, amen? That's where our value is. It's in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to look at today. Paul was such a man. He did terrible things to the church. How many of you have ever done terrible things to the church? How many of you have ever tagged a church? How many of you have ever broken a window on purpose in a church? How many of you have ever drug out Christians? I saw that hand. I'm not here to judge, though. How many of you have ever drug somebody out of a church and beat them up? How many of you have ever taken a Christian and killed them? See, that's the life of Paul. That's who Paul was. This guy was crumpled up, beat up, torn up. No good. Evil, according to the church. People were afraid to meet with him because he was terrible. But we're going to see today how Paul responded to some things and how what he says in the Word of God out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says 1 through 9, but it's going to be 1 through 3. It's a greeting. And I'm going to be starting today in the book of Corinthians. I just read it through our daily Bible reading program. Any one of those books, I could just go preach the whole book. So I'm going to preach 1 Corinthians till I'm done. So we're going to go through that, and we're starting with verses 1 through 3. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go through your word today, and we talk about the book of Corinthians, I pray, Father God, that our hearts be opened wide, and Lord, that even today that we could see who we are in you. We can see the benefit of serving God. And Lord, to letting go of the world so that we're so alive in Jesus. And Father, even as we've been saying in this service, that we do not leave the same way we came in. That we leave spiritually, physically different. In Jesus' name, amen. You might want to today just leave by a different door as a sign that you've received what God is doing in your life today. Amen. You came in that door, go out that door, go out that door. These are all exits. Just exit someplace else today. Don't come in the way you came. Amen. Do a spirit, do a prophetic act today. I know I've said that before, but do it. Amen. It goes a lot faster if you say amen once in a while. Keeps me rolling. So, you know, Paul was an apostle. An apostle is a delegate, an ambassador of the gospel, officially a commissioner of Christ. He was a messenger. He's a sent one. That's what an apostle is, a sent one that has a message, amen? And that's why I tell everybody that goes with me to places, you got to have a message if you're going to go. Because if you're going to go, you got to have something to say, amen? Otherwise, you're just carrying my Bible. And I'm a big enough guy that I can carry my own Bible. I can carry my own suitcases. I say, if you can't carry it, you shouldn't bring it. Yolanda says, wait a minute. But an apostle sent one. And Paul says it was through the will of God. It's not because of his own merit, but through the will of God. See, Paul's desire was not to be an apostle. Paul's desire was to be a Pharisee. See, and a Pharisee was the people that kept the law that Moses had given. They made sure that people were keeping the law. So if you on a Sabbath day were carrying something, the Pharisee's job was to punish you. See, Pharisees were not priests. They were more punishers. They were the police. They were the religious police, the ticket police, you know. And they ticketed you with a whooping. Make sure you got a whooping if you were doing something. I mean, when you go back to Moses, if you did stuff on the Sabbath, man, they just killed you. You know what they did too? If a young person was rebellious, and the parents said, hey, my kid's being rebellious right now, they took the kid out and they killed him. That was the law. And that's what a Pharisee did. He kept the law. Made sure that, when we look at that stuff, and we're like, oh my gosh, it's so intense. But Paul's saying, listen, this is the will of God that I'm here. It's not of myself. Now, I hear a lot of people today, they call themselves apostles, but I believe it's on their own merit that they call themselves apostles. You know, that their own thinking that they call themselves apostles. Not because it's through the will of God. It's just like, well, I'm an overseer, so I'm an apostle. Well, God bless you. Hope that works out for you. I was appointed by God. You know, his own plan, as I said, was to destroy the church. That was Paul's plan, destroy the church. And the church went against everything Paul knew. See, the Pharisees, the religious people, they were waiting for the Messiah. They didn't receive Jesus as the Messiah. So Paul's plan was, well, I'm going to destroy this uprising called the church. I'm going to go house to house. I'm going to drag them out. I'm going to imprison. I'm going to kill them. And then he did that in Jerusalem. When he got done doing that in Jerusalem, he got some scripts from the priests to go to Damascus, and begin to rip the church apart there. That was his plan. That's what he was going to do. But when he had an encounter with God on that road trip, how many of you like a good road trip? I love a good road trip. And Paul was on that road trip, and his light, bright light hit him, and he fell off his horse. He fell on the ground, and he couldn't see, but he could hear this sound from heaven, and the Lord began to speak to him. And when he had an encounter with Jesus, it changed everything in his life. Everything. His whole thinking process, to the point he got a new name. He went from Saul to Paul. You know, he had a new identity. And I think when we come into Christ, we get a new identity. Amen. You know, the problem is with our new identity, Pastor Jesse. When I got a new identity in Christ, all my friends and some family members wanted to remind me of my old identity. What makes you think you're so holy? What makes you think you're so right? What makes you think you're so good? Well, the Word of God does. Jesus. He does. See, because when you come into the Word of God, when you come into the kingdom of God, when you come into Christ, you get this knowing inside of you of who you are in Christ. I took away the knowing who I was in the world, You know, some people, you know, I've heard people say, well, your testimony is incredible, but it hasn't worked that way for me. You know, the reason why it worked for me, man, I was so done with the world. I was so done with the world. When I came to Jesus that day, I was done. I begged him, you got to take this stuff away. And you know what, Pastor? I just received it. I said, I give you this. And he said, okay. And so all those things that I gave him, I stopped doing. And I've never picked them up again. See, if it's just my heart's desire, I want to serve God with all my heart. I look at Paul and I think, that was a transformation that happened in a moment's notice. Now, did Paul still have things he had to work out? Well, let me ask you this. How many of you still have things you want to work out in your life? I think Paul did too. But there was an amazing transformation that happened in that moment that I believe that God has for every single one of us. That, you see, we battle with sin. It's not that Paul didn't battle with sin, because he even said, I do the things I don't want to do. You know, how many of you do things you don't really want to do? If we're honest, we'd all raise our hand. We wouldn't just smile at me. I mean, Pastor Jesse says, how many of you want to go deeper, man? I'm the first one down here. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I want to go deeper. I want to leave transformed too. I'm not asking you to do something I'm not wanting in my own life, amen? I want to go deeper with the Lord. But he got a new name. Abraham went from Abram to Abraham. Sarai went from Sarai to Sarah, amen? You know, Peter went from Simon to Peter. Transformation. What would the Lord call you today? What would be your new name? I like my name. I'll tell you what my name means. Talanda, don't laugh. I just can't help it. It means mighty, noble, handsome leader. I like it. I have a good name. My mom named me good. So you got Paul, who's going to destroy churches, went from destroying churches to planting churches. He planted the church at Corinth. When he accepted the Lord and got filled with the Spirit, he was on fire. And he just kept running. He just kept doing. He just kept serving. He just kept going after God to build the church. In the Greek, church means assembly or a gathering of called out ones. Amen. Matthew 25:14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. So the call goes out to receive salvation from the Lord, but not everyone responds to the call. I think a lot of people come to church because they like the peace that they find at church, but they don't want to make the commitment. See, the call goes out. People like the presence. They like, whoa, I feel so good in here. You know, but when they go back to the chaos we call life, and they live in that, you know, Monday through Saturday, and then they come back in and say, ooh, this peace feels so good. But they haven't assimilated into everyday life with Christ. When you have peace with God all the time, it's amazing what happens in your life. It's amazing how you rise up every day. It's amazing how you just feel rejuvenated and refreshed all the time. Now, you're either here today because you're searching for Jesus or you found him. One of two people are here today. So you're either a called out one that is yet to respond to the Lord, or you're a called out one that has responded to the Lord. And because you're a called out one, your job is to go find those that need to hear to be called out and bring them to church. That's your job. My job is to speak the word over them when they come, but your job is to get them to come. Everybody's got a flyer on your seat for VBS, every other seat. Take that and invite some kids to come, amen? Reach out. Oh, I don't do that. Do it! Be bold, be courageous, amen? Paul, man, can you imagine the first time Paul went to meet with the apostles in Jerusalem? They're like, yeah, we don't want to meet with that guy. Why not? He's really a changed man. Well, he killed Christians. You see what he did to Stephen? He had Stephen stoned, and oh, we don't want to meet with him. He's just setting us up. But when they met with him, like, hey, this guy might be a changed guy. You know? So you get that boldness in you because you're changed, you're transformed, so that you can step out and Invite. You can knock on your neighbor's door and say, hey, I see you got little brats running around. Children, angels running around. And we would like to invite them to our church. You can do this. Amen. So the called out ones who have said yes to the Lord. How many of you said yes to the Lord? Some of you will not raise your hand no matter what. Give me the nod. But because you're called out, you invite those who are not called out. Invite them. You know, when we did Saturate Corona last month, we're coming up with a plan because we have a lot of stuff left that we want to do some stuff with that again. We're not going to just let it sit in that corner and rot over there in the fellowship hall. But we want to do stuff with it. But we did Saturate Corona, and we hit probably close to 17,000 homes with the gospel. And I got a letter this week from somebody that said, hey, I go to Corona Christian Center, Dave Howard's church. He says, but I've been battling sickness, and so I'm at home. But I just wanted to send you $5 to say, go have a cup of coffee on me. There was five $1 bills in there because he was excited about what we did, that we went out and reach the city for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We got to go. And it didn't hurt a bit. I mean, I walked up to one guy. I went to get it, give it to him. And he had that, you know, that thing you pick up trash with, you know, you punch it. And he had it, and he stretched it out, and he pinched it. And he went over to his trash can. I said, wait. You're not going to watch it? And he goes, what's it about? I said, Jesus. He goes, no. I said, give it back. And I took it. But what that man doesn't know, that might have been his only opportunity to be called out. Many are called, few are chosen. Many are called, but not everybody responds. It's not my job to make them respond, it's my job to give them the opportunity. I remember I said one time, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And this brother that was with me said, it's not our job to make him drink. It's our job to make him thirsty. Our lifestyle should make people thirsty for the kingdom of God. Amen? And that's what we've got to do, because the church can be the place where the call goes out to come to Jesus. We're the place that they're called out to. And it's a place where the called out ones bring the others to receive and hear the calling of God in their life of Jesus. So that as they hear and they receive, they are sanctified. Everybody say sanctified. Sanctified means to be set apart, to be holy, to make holy, to purify, or to consecrate. When you come to Jesus, you become holy. Everybody say holy. You're holy. You're sanctified. How many of you feel holy all the time? How many of you are holy all the time? Amen. You are. You are holy all the time when you come to Jesus. Amen. Because we have God the Father who's up there, and he looks down at you and he says, hey, Jesus, all I can see is your blood covering them. They must be perfect. And we're under the blood going, oh, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. But he makes us holy. And the sanctification process, we just keep walking it out. We just keep going forward in that process of being cleansed, of getting rid of the junk out of our life. So that as we get rid of that junk, we're walking, and God sees us through the blood. He's like, oh, my gosh, Delonda is such a holy one. Oh, so holy, it's not even funny. Look at that guy. He's just shining with the radiance of the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, everybody say light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Everybody say all. All sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So you sit here today under the blood of Jesus, confessing Jesus is Lord, sinless. Woo! That should make somebody happy. You're sinless. You're like, yeah, but you don't know what I did. I don't care what you did. I only care about what the Word of God tells me. The key is walking in the light with Jesus. Just like Jesus did, he says, I want you to obey me the way I obey the Father. Walk in the light with Jesus. And then it's like, wow, I'm sinless. And as we do this, we are called out to be saints. Everybody say saints. Tell your neighbor, you're a saint. You're a saint. This is our calling. This is our calling to be saints. You're a saint. You don't got to go to the Catholic Church and go through all the things what they identify a saint with. Jesus Christ calls you out and you respond and you become a saint. You are a saint. I remember I was in one place. I was in a Cusco, Peru. They call it the witchcraft capital of the world. And there's such a strong religious spirit there of Catholicism and a bunch of other junk mixed together, witchcraft and all this stuff. Oh, I was so mad when I was preaching. I didn't feel like I had any love in me because my spirit, man, was so furious. And I told them people, I said, you go home! You throw out every statue you have in your house. You tear down everything that's not of God. You tear out everything you've been worshiping. You get rid of it. You cast it out. Because we're going to do things the way that Jesus said to do them. And they're looking at me. I said, listen, we're going to start not praying to Mary, but we're going to pray the way that Mary prayed. They're like, huh? I said, listen, Mary was taught to pray to the Father in the name of her son, Jesus. I said, so we're not going to pray to Mary. We're going to pray the way that Mary prays. Amen. And as you do that, you're going to see when you start praying to Jesus, praying to the Father in the name of the Son, Jesus, it's amazing. Your sainthood's going to go up. Amen. You're going to be like, wow. Because being a saint or holy, it means to be sacred, pure, blameless, consecrated, separated, properly revered, worth of veneration, God likeness. Whose image were we created in? God's. Think about this. This represents, I know it's the body, but for my explanation right now, represents people. When you come to Jesus and you become a saint, you are separated. You're no longer in that pot. You're separated. And separated ones come together. And we begin to look different than where we've come from. Because we're becoming holy. We're becoming perfected in Jesus Christ. We are set apart for God, reserved for God in His service. A holy God calls for a holy people. We become holy. Amen? And it looks different than the world. If people can't see the difference in us, then maybe we're too close to the world. Maybe we're right here with the world when we need to be separated from them. Amen? Where we need to be set apart. And that's what God is calling us to. He says, you are sanctified. You are set apart. To become a saint, sacred, pure, and blameless. You're holy. You're a saint. Everybody say saint?
Saint.
And so, like I said, a holy God calls for a holy people. Now, this is not something you do on your own. You can't become a saint on your own. You can't just wake up one day and say, oh, I'm a saint. Your mom might say that about you. Oh, my mom thought I was a saint growing up. Little did she know. We all need salvation, amen? We all need it. But it's not something you do on your own. In the first 10 verses of this chapter, Paul mentions Jesus Christ 10 times. And what he's doing is he's letting us know that Jesus Christ is the foundation of everything. Jesus Christ is the foundation of being called out. Everything has to be built on Jesus Christ. You know, I was telling somebody earlier, one of my favorite scriptures out of the Amplified is Matthew 6:33. And it says, in the King James, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And he's referring to what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, you know. But in the Amplified, it says this. It says, seek first God's way of doing things and his way of being right, and all these things will be added to you. So when we seek first, how is God going to do it? See, that's what we're doing. We're joining with him. We're building our foundation on Jesus Christ. But when we just respond to our flesh, like we talked about, you know, earlier prophetically, when we talk about traumas in your life, when you're letting the trauma shape your attitude, then you're getting away from what God has for you. So when we step into Christ and we're building our foundation in Christ, then he's what comes through. No matter what traumas we're going through, no matter what battles we're coming through, it's Jesus Christ that's going to come through us. As today's Bible reading, that if you're doing the walk through the Bible a year with me, you can join up anytime on our website to join with it. But in Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So what he's telling us is that when he says, this shall not depart from your mouth, it means that the word of God shall always be in your mouth. At the word of God, when you're in a situation, that you speak the word over your life. You know, but we're so quick to our flesh. We all do it. You know, we all declare, I'm sick. We all do that. I'm so sick, I can't come. We all do that. We declare, instead of declaring the word of God, you know, by his stripes I'm healed. But we declare how we feel. And what this Joshua is saying to us is that the word of God shall be the first thing out of our mouth. And then I can meditate on that. And I can think on that so that I begin to do it. And as I'm meditating on the word of God and I'm doing it, then I become prosperous and successful. See, that's why some of you haven't gotten to where God wants you to be prosperity-wise and success-wise, is because you're not speaking the word of God over your life. You're speaking your feelings, your emotions over your life. And when you do that, you bind up God from working in your life so that you stay the same you are. How? And we came forward today because we don't want to leave the same way we came in. We want that breakthrough. And the breakthrough comes through the word of God, through getting it in your heart, getting it in your mind, and speaking it out. Amen? Outside of Jesus, we're not holy. Amen. Ugh. If my mom knew who I really was, she would be like, ah! It's by the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sin that makes us holy. Now we just got to walk it out. We got to walk in the light. Amen. So there are things that we need to keep giving to Jesus. There are things that we need to keep resisting. There are things that we need to be fleeing from. There's just things that happen. It's like that, you know, because we live in a fallen world. So the battle's never over. You know, we've got to constantly stay on our toes. You got to keep pressing forward, amen? The more you connect with God through worship, reading the word, and prayer, the more we see in our own lives that needs to come under the blood. The more, you know, the closer I've got to God, the more I realize what a sinner I am. You know, it's like, oh man, I need the blood. I need Jesus. Because the closer I get to him, it's like the dark in me needs light. You know, we see more clearly the things that bring the holiness of Jesus alive in us as we worship and we read and we pray. And it just comes alive in us. But just remember this. Not everybody wants this. Not everybody's looking for this. Not everybody wants to grow closer to God. Like I said, there are people that come to church today because they can experience peace in his presence, but they're not wanting to be changed. They want to just come and then go back to the chaos tomorrow. Because in this world right now, it is very chaotic. It can be very stressful. Paul, he speaks grace and peace over us. The kind that comes from being connected to God and Jesus. Grace, it's from the root cheris in the Greek, and from the same root as chero, which means joy, and chereo, which means to rejoice. So cheris causes rejoicing. Everybody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
It's in the Word of God, amen? It's in the Word of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Everybody say always. Again, I say rejoice. He wants us to always rejoice no matter what's going on in our lives. He wants us to put on that garment of praise. That spirit of heaviness and depression will be gone from us. He says, rejoice always, because the grace that we receive, the favor and the blessing that we've gotten from the Lord, should cause us to be happy. She calls us to rejoice. And listen, it doesn't mean you won't go through things, but I'm here today to tell you, when we got saved, when we came to Jesus, we were all given a measure of faith. But faith, your faith will grow through trials. Through trials. How many of you have been going through trials? We should thank the Lord and rejoice for the opportunity to grow. Amen? We should. Oh, hallelujah. I've been going through some great trials. Amen. Great opportunity. Because listen, how you respond to the trial is how your faith grows. If you don't respond, if you keep responding ugly to the trials, if you keep, you know, remember he said, let the word of the Lord be on your tip of your tongue. Keep the word of the Lord on the tip of your tongue. Instead of speaking self out it, that grace just comes alive, that favor, that blessing. And that's why you look around in the body of Christ and you see people and you think, why are they so blessed? What's going on in their life? Because they've caught hold of the principles of God and they're doing them. They're doing them. And as you do them, it's amazing what God will do. So we should be living a life of rejoicing. Amen? Rejoice! Rejoice!
Always.
Rejoice! Amen! Again, I said rejoice. And then Paul said, he said, I want you to have peace. How many of you need some peace today? I speak peace over you in Jesus' name. Peace, it's a state of rest, quietness, calmness, an absence of strife and tranquility. It generally denotes a perfect well-being. It includes harmonious relationships between God and men, men and men, nations and families. Jesus is the Prince of Peace who gives peace to those who call upon Him for personal salvation. That we make Him Lord. And as we do that, that peace comes. So, this is just the greeting. This is just how Paul greeted us. It's all of this just in three scriptures of greeting. And this is how Paul was common to greet people. If you read his books, well, let's go through them one more time. Number one, Jesus Christ is our foundation. Jesus is our foundation we build upon. Amen. Number two, we are sanctified when we come to Jesus. We're cleansed. We're cleansed. Number three, we become saints of God. Hallelujah, we become saints. Number four, we have His grace. Number five, we have His peace. Number six, we rejoice all the time. Now, you probably ought to take a picture of that and remember that tomorrow, because I just believe that for some of you today, tomorrow is going to come at you a little hard. You know, you hear a good word, and then the next day you're like, what? I remember one time God's anointing was on me to preach getting healed, and as they were getting healed, it was incredible. We're doing a Sunday night service. Monday morning, I woke up. I had to get out of bed to hit the alarm clock. I hit the alarm clock, and I coughed. And that cough was so horrendous that I could barely... Dawn's like, she looked at me, and the first words out of her mouth were, go to the hospital. That's how bad that cough was. Because sometimes when we hear that word, and the devil knows that he can, if you allow him to, he'll steal the word from you. Everything that's been said today, everything that's happened today, the devil will try and steal it from you. You know, and you just got to remember My foundation is in Jesus. It's not on my own. It's in Jesus. I've been sanctified. I've been set apart for the will of God. I am a saint of Jesus Christ. I have His grace, His favor, His blessing on me. Hallelujah. I can rest in His peace. And some of you, this is number five, really need to focus on today. Because when you're with your mate, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you married couples have ever fought on the way home from church? Lon and I just stopped driving together. But we need to remember that he gives us peace. And how you respond to life is how it's going to be built up in you. It's all the result of establishing number one in your life, Jesus Christ, as our foundation. We build upon Jesus. He's called you out. He sanctifies you. He calls you a saint. He gives you favor and blessing through grace. And He rains down peace on you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before You today, we thank You for the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. The cornerstone of our lives, hallelujah, that we're to build upon. We thank You for that, Lord, that when we come to You and we know You, that You sanctify us and You cleanse us. You set us apart. You make us saints. You make us holy because of what Jesus did, and that we receive what Jesus did and we become saints. Hallelujah. And that You give us that grace to do it, God. You've extended Your grace to us that we can become sanctified and a saint of God, so that we can walk in the peace of God that the world can't understand. Maybe you're here today and you need to make Jesus your foundation. You need to make Him your go-to. You need to give your life to Him today. If that's you today, just raise your hand. You want to make sure everybody, when you leave this place, it's different. You need Jesus as your foundation. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you know that God has more for you. You've listened to me talk week after week after week and you're like, I want to get there. You said, I want to press through this. I want to start receiving what God has said about me, that I am sanctified. I am holy. I'm a saint. I have His grace. I have His peace. You're saying, I want to walk that out in my life. I want to walk it out just as Jesus walked it out. I'm tired of holding back. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you today. Amen. 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 Praise God. Today is the day we leave different. Father, you've seen these hands that went up. Lord, first of all, we surrender to You to be our foundation stone. We surrender our lives to You. We give ourselves over to You to be sanctified, to become the saint of God that is holy and set apart from this world. That we don't look like the world, God. We look like a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Set us apart today. Father God, for those of us that have been set apart, we know we've been set apart, God, but we know there's certain things in our life that have been blocking us from getting all that You have for us. I pray, Lord, that those walls right now would come down in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, that You would annihilate those things. That Your grace would come like rain upon the people of God. That Your favor and Your blessing, God, would rain down on us today. That we could receive it into our hearts, our minds, God. That we'd be transformed, God, by the hearing of the Word. Oh, Father, just fill us today. Yeah. Yeah, God. Oh, we surrender all to you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let it flow in this place. Ask the altar workers if you'd just come down to the front, please. Why don't we stand this morning? These men and women of God are here to pray for you. If you know that specifically you need to deal with something, come this morning and just get rid of it. Give it over to Jesus. Don't leave the same way you came in. Father, I pray you cover, protect, and bless the people of God as they go their way today. Let your hand be upon them. Give them strength to walk in the light as you did, Jesus. That we can walk this out because our foundation stone is you, Jesus. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Now, you don't have to go. If you need prayer, please.